Amen. Come on, let's give it up to Jesus today. How many know he's what we need today? Amen.
Hey.
It's so good to see you here in person. Thank you so much for coming, and it's so good to have you online. And all of us are family at City Church, whether we're in the building or at home, because we love and we build and we lead together.
Right.
So in your home and in the room, let's give Jesus a great hand clap of praise, please, today. God is good.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
I would tell you to turn to your neighbor and give him a high five, but you can't. So one step at a time. Go ahead.
No, right. It's just so awesome to see you all here. We missed you. God bless you. I wish I could just hug you. We love you online. We miss you too. God bless you. And it's just an honor to be in the house of the Lord to worship with you today.
Amen. After 12 weeks, thank you so much for your prayers, your participation, your generosity. As Pastor Tony mentioned, we've been able to do so many things to give over 6,000 meals away in these 12 weeks period of time. 300 people coming to Jesus over that in this period of time. So I've been so honored to be a part of an active agent of giving to our community, and thank you. And we're going to navigate all this one week at a time. We're learning as we go. And we're going to do our best this summer. And God's here. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Well, in the month of June, we're going to do a series. We decided to adjust what we were going to do originally. And, you know, this buzzword that's been going around is essential. What is essential? Mm-hmm. You know, and what business or what situation is essential or non-essential? And I believe, obviously, that Jesus is essential. How about you today?
Right.
And out of that, there's several aspects that we want to hit this month. Now, today, Summer and I are preaching together because we want to talk about what obviously is happening in our country. Right. And this has been really, how many wish we could go back to January 1st and, like, reset the whole year? Just kind of do this over again. God.
We need a new year. Happy New Year.
Jeez.
Gosh.
But so much has happened this year. Obviously, COVID-19, people have been sick, been quarantined, lost their lives. Mm-hmm. And over 40 million unemployed. And then within the last few weeks, it's just like an old wound that won't heal with, you know, seemingly unnecessary violence, particularly against black and brown people. Mm-hmm. And what's really weird is that all of us pretty much saw the video of a man's life slowly being taken from him. Mm-hmm. And it's shocking. It's like, man, I can't believe this is actually happening and we're all seeing this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Jesus, I believe, has a lot to say about this. How about you? Because he said, love your brother as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right.
And so, you know, all of us in this room and online, if you think about it, at some level, all of us are feeling pain in our life because we're human and everything is not perfect. Mm-hmm. And yet, I believe in this moment, our city is feeling pain. Our nation is feeling pain. And so what do we do with pain? How do we navigate this in our faith? Because Jesus, I believe, wants to meet us in our pain.
Right.
And he wants to do something about it. How many believe that today? That's what I believe.
Yes.
And, you know, pain is not the absence of faith. It's just that, you know, we're human and we live in an imperfect world and God shows up and heals our pain.
Right.
Summer and I were honored to be at the protest on Friday. It was a peaceful protest, over 7,000 people. I was honored that my childhood best friend, he spoke at it. We spoke yesterday and it was cool to see people coming together. And it's important to us because, you know, Jesus, he loves all people. And so it's important that we model that. Amen?
Amen.
So Summer's going to read the verses today. If you have your Bibles or your phones, you can turn to Matthew 25. She's going to read the verses, and then she'll pray, and then I will unpack this this text, and then we'll get into this, and she'll share, and we'll move forward today. Amen? So it'll be
Amen.
Good.
So Matthew 25, 1 through 4 says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Amen.
There is an essential oil we need. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We humbly come before you. God, we need you today. We need you today more than we needed you yesterday.
Yes.
And God, I just ask that as you speak your word through David and I, Pastor David and I, God, that we receive your healing, your mercy, your peace,
yes,
your unity, your redemption, your restoration for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say amen.
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 Thank you, Alex. How many believe that Jesus is the healer? I believe that. He's the healer of any condition, any situation, and there's nothing that he can't do. And so today we're speaking to the body of Christ, the church. What's our place? What do we do with pain? This is a pretty popular story from Matthew 25. It's a parable that Jesus was teaching. And we've heard messages over the years in many different ways and facets of this story. And yeah, I want to unpack it in a succinct manner, and then we really get to the content of this story, because there's a secret, as I would call it, in this story, and it's found in verse 4. And in verse 4, it said that the wise young ladies took their oil in their vessels. Everyone say vessels.
Vessels.
Now, what's interesting here about this story is all 10 of these women were the same. They were all in the same position in life, if you will. They all had the light of the gospel. All of them had Jesus, if you will, in their life. But there was a difference as they walked it out. If I had read the whole story to you, or if Summer would have, the bridegroom came and surprised them. And when he did that, the five foolish that didn't have the oil weren't ready and couldn't go with the bridegroom. But the five wise, they were ready, and they went forward. And so really it's speaking on so many levels, and the message goes so many different ways. But really, when you break this down, if you're taking notes on your phone or at home today or in the room or on a notepad, please check this out. When I was studying this years ago, this phrase stuck out to me. The wise took oil in their vessels. And I was investigative and wanted to research what was that word vessel. This word vessel is only used twice in the whole New Testament. And please write this down if you're taking notes, or just put it in your mind. I love this. That word vessel means an ache or a pain. And it actually means, in the Greek language, it's like a bucket that's been bent over. So just imagine a bucket that's been dented or it's been crushed, and now the bucket is not what its capacity it could be. It's in some ways deformed. It's bent over. That's what it literally means. It's a bent pail or a bent bucket full of aches and pains. What's amazing is, in the insight of this story, there was 10 women. They were all the same in their position. They all had the light of the gospel. They all were at the same place, but there was one difference. One difference. Five that were foolish did not put the essential oil of Jesus in their pain. And the five wise took oil and put it in their pain. And that was the only difference. And when they did that, it sustained them throughout their whole time, or the whole time of the story as we know it. And then when the bridegroom came, they were ready because they had longevity, because they took the oil and they put it in their pain. This is, you know, very much relevant today. Now, they needed this back then and we need it right now.
Right.
You know, it's interesting that we take different approaches to pain. And Summer's going to unpack that here in a moment. But in our faith, Jesus wants to heal our pain. And he wants to do something with it. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, the healing oil, the essential oil we're talking about, you know, what is essential? It's Jesus. The essential oil is the healing touch of Jesus.
Right.
It's the power of Christ that can make right what is wrong. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that can change an inward heart and do something that no human can do. How many, I can say amen to that? Only he can do it.
Amen.
And so that's what we're talking about. This essential oil that's mentioned in this story is not just an oil you cook with. It's the oil of Jesus. And Jesus wants to do something that only he can do. But the only difference was five foolish would not go there, if you will, in their pain, and the wise did. And when the oil was in that pain and ache place, that painful place, they had enough to sustain them.
Yeah.
So the question is, what do we do with our pain? Because we're in pain as a country today. And we're in pain with racial relations. We have a pain of connecting to one another. I'm not preaching at you. Our church is a miracle. But I'm speaking ubiquitously. There's a pain in connecting. There's a pain in listening. There's a pain in empathy. There's a pain personally that all of us have in our own life, in our own story.
Right.
And yet Jesus wants to do something about it.
Yeah. I think before we even break it down as far as what do we do with our pain? I think we need to acknowledge, and maybe just, I pray that we do like an inventory check right now, even as I'm speaking. But really, you know, there's an individual pain. And really check on yourself, like, what is that individual pain? I ask the Holy Spirit just to allow him to put a pinpoint on that area. But the individual pain could be, and I'm just throwing these out here just to help you maneuver through it, but maybe it's through family. Obviously, you know, maybe it's through health. We've talked about with COVID-19. Maybe it's through career. We talked about that with unemployment. Maybe it's through just your own insecurity. So there, you know, we always, even before 2020, we had our own baggage, right? And so what is that? Maybe it's relational. What is that? Because we still need Jesus. I don't care if we are doing great, we still need Jesus.
Amen.
And so I just pray that we acknowledge our individual pain. And then we got to acknowledge, you know, our brothers and sisters have pain. Others have pain. And we talked about COVID-19. I mean, COVID-19, oh my gosh. You know, the pain of that. Our staff was able to call you guys and just to hear your stories, hear how you're doing, and noticing that, man, there's people that are unemployed.
Yep.
And people are dealing with that pain. Our brothers and sisters are dealing with unemployment right now in this church, as well as in the country. People have health crises that not necessarily is it COVID, but it's other things that are going on. People are passing away, and we can't give them a respectable, burial. So there's other people, all of us are dealing with some kind of pain. And then I get to, and then, well, before I even get to that, because we have kids and students in this room, but then, you know, you guys weren't even able to see your friends.
Yeah.
You're not able to go to parks. I mean, at least you're able to be home, but you're not able to go to parks and just hang out. Seniors not able to have a traditional senior last year, you know. But then I go to our country, and this pain has been before COVID-19.
Right.
This pain has been before you and I have even been on this earth. And this pain, we're still reaping the pain of our country.
Yep.
And it's just really sad to know that, I said this, I was granted the opportunity to speak at IU for, I graduated under College Arts and Science. And I was just sharing with them, and of course I'm the only pastor, I'm only one representing faith. They didn't want to hear a thing I had to say, just to be honest. But I was just saying that, you know, when it comes to race, because we were talking about African-American, African diaspora studies, I was like, when it comes to racial tension, racial issues, I know as a pastor, but I also know as a human and as an individual, that people are coming into this church building carrying that pain.
Yes.
People are tired of inequality. They are tired of injustice. They are tired of discrimination. They are tired of racism. They are tired. And I know that they're coming in here, and it's really a miracle that they're able to come in here and be able to be under a white pastor. They're able to be under a black pastor. I remember when Pastor Kim and Pastor Renee were my first white pastors. It was amazing to me. And what you guys are doing is amazing. The fact that we can come here in unity is amazing.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you this.
Come on. Give it to Jesus. Because it's still not the norm.
No. When I was on campus, and I'm not trying to bash IU, but I'm just talking about in the world, people don't like what we're doing. They can't stand that I'm a pastor over white people. They can't stand that I am married to a white man. They can't stand it. And that ain't nothing but the devil. So I'm going to just give them something to show. I'm just going to show it in their face. Because I love my husband, obviously, right? But I love you guys. And I want you to know that I will fight for you.
Amen.
And what I can't stand when it comes to this sin issue is that it becomes a political issue.
Right.
It ticks me off that it becomes a political issue.
Yeah.
It's not a Democrat. It's not a Republican.
Yes.
It's not an independent. It is a sin issue.
Yep.
And I pray that we see that.
Yep.
Because listen, let me tell you something. There are people in this church, we have seen the world, we've seen our country, we've seen, obviously you talked about George Floyd, there's so many people that have died.
Ahmaud Arbery.
Breonna Taylor, I mean, we've seen this, right? But some of this stuff that you don't know is that in black and brown people's day-in-day life, they get this day in day. And they're tired. And the fact that there are white brothers and sisters, that this is what is blessing to me. And I see white pastors that are saying, oh my gosh, okay, I've had enough.
Yes.
That this is that this is too much. But I'm telling you that I know stories of black and brown people who have gotten cussed out in grocery stores because of their skin tone. They are in this church. I know stories of black and brown people whose clients make a joke of wearing a KKK garment. And thank God that his boss was there. I'm telling you, this is happening. I'll say this. Thank God that we have church. We have people in our families. We have friends. We have people in our groups that will stand up and they will say something. I was in Evansville, Indiana, and I was able to see my precious niece, Emma, who is, 7 years old now?
Emmy.
I said Emma.
Emmy.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry, G. Sorry, Emmy.
Something like that.
Something like that. There are E's and G's, you know. We got Evelyn now. God bless. Anyway, and we went to this cafe, I think it was. And, you know, I know people look at me crazy. I know people, and especially, you know, with my family, because we're interracial, they all look at us crazy. But my mother-in-law noticed that this sheriff was staring me down because of my skin tone. And she got ticked off. And it didn't bother me because this is something that I hate to say that I carry it, but this is just what it is. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she felt it touched me.
Yes.
I remember going to a marriage conference with Pastors Kim and Hillary, and we stopped at Wendy's. And Pastor Kim is a huge biracial black guy. He goes into Wendy's, and I didn't go. I stayed in, and I was like, oh, I do want to go in. I do want to go get me something to eat. And she said, you know what? I'm going to go with you because I noticed how they were looking at my husband. And it's stuff like that that just blesses me, that we have people that will say, I see it.
Yes.
And I'm sickened by it.
Come on.
And it ticks me off, and there needs to be change.
Yes.
And so I say all that to say is that we're just acknowledging pain. Now you get to, what do we do with the pain?
Okay, I'll do it. You better preach. Go ahead and share your heart. Give her a hand. She did a sharing. The two greatest commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, love each other, not the way we love each other. Love each other as I, Jesus, has loved you. What a great standard. And so I want to thank you for being a great church, because all of us have to make a decision. What will we do with our pain individually? And now is a moment that we have as a church. We can't control politics. I think that reform needs to happen on a lot of levels. We know that. And we have a lot of great police officers in our church and in our city, and we bless them. We thank them for serving and protecting us. There's a lot of great people. Firemen, police officers, police women. Thank you. We need reform and all that, absolutely. But as the church, you and I have a responsibility, and that is to model the love of Christ. And so what do we do with our pain? And really on a practical level, individually, and as a church, what can we do? All of us have a decision to make. I want to encourage you today that first, maybe for your notes, first, we admit what has happened. And I've talked about this before, but denial is a very convenient tool we use to get through life. Mm-hmm. We can easily deny what's happened to us. We can deny what we have gone through. We can even deny what we're presently staring at, maybe in our marriage, in our home. I'm not accusing anyone in this room or online, but I think it's easy in this subject of racism to deny it and to say, well, it's over now, we're good, and that doesn't exist anymore or whatever. It's easy to have denial. So for Jesus to heal our pain, we have to admit what has happened to us. I want to encourage you today, whether you've taken this step or you haven't, and really this step is not a trite one. This is a massive step that all of us have to take. I was saved for 11 years, preaching, serving God, loving God with all my heart, married to my beautiful wife. I had my first child, I was doing everything I could for God, and I still had not admitted what had happened to me.
Yeah.
And I had to come to that point and admit that I was messed with and inappropriately by someone older than me. And I had to admit where that happened in my life, what it did to my life. And so I know what I'm talking about, that I was serving Christ with all my heart. It took 11 years in serving Jesus for me to get to the point of saying, yep, I admit it, this happened to me. And then the healing began to come. So on a personal level, I want to challenge you to admit what has happened. Maybe this is past, maybe it's present. Admit what has happened. I would challenge all of us in this room on a national scale to admit that what we saw to George Floyd was murder. I think we all admit that. To admit that there is a disparity. To admit that even in the Church of Jesus Christ, there's been racial divide. I can give you a history lesson about all that. That's sad that the church had it in their hands in 1910, 1911, 1912. But by 1914, it already was just, it was fractured by race. But God did a miracle in the beginning stages of all this in the 19th century, in the 1900s. And so I want to encourage you that God wants us to take it now. And we take it in our hands and we don't let it slip through our fingers. So I want to encourage you, you know, what we do with our pain. Mm-hmm. We admit what's happened to us. What could you admit happened to you? Mm-hmm. And then let Jesus into the pain. Remember, the five wise virgins took oil in their pain. And that was the only difference between being wise and being foolish. I don't know about you, but I want the oil to last me all of my life. How about you? I want to endure in this thing.
Yeah.
I want to be ready for Jesus when he comes. I want to live for God. And so we can't have a superficial faith. Faith is good and God is good, but God will help us through the pain.
Yeah.
So what do we do with our pain? We got to admit it. Number two, I want to encourage you to listen to others and have empathy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Summer was saying. My mom had empathy mm-hmm. for her.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I would ask all of us to, in this moment, to be determined to listen, to share, mm-hmm. to come alongside. You know, the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 15, to mourn with those that mourn. The Bible says to weep with those that weep, laugh with those that laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now, when I think about these last few weeks, I think about what we've seen. I think about where we've come from. I think about what's happening. I think about the protests. I think about the violence and the destruction of property. We don't, and that's unfortunate. We don't support that. We believe in peaceful protesting. We thank God for that right. I think about how right now it's so incumbent that we put down our retorts, put down our political, this may frustrate you, put down your political argument and just say, you know what, I don't care what you believe, what I believe, I'm going to come alongside and I'm going to say, you know what, I don't understand, but I choose to show empathy and come alongside you because the Bible tells me to. And I want to do what the Bible tells me to do because as a Christ follower, I don't need to argue with you, I just need to come alongside you. Didn't Jesus do that for you and me?
Yeah.
And really, I hope that someone has done that for you and I in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe now it's our turn to do that. And I would encourage, if you're white, I would encourage you to listen to a black or brown person.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to maybe some of their stories. Listen to some of their feelings. You may have your own thoughts. You don't even have to agree. I'm not even asking you to agree. I'm just asking you to listen. Black and brown folks, I'm asking you to let us, you know, be there for you. And let us love on you. And we don't know, but we want to understand the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to show empathy. Amen?
Amen.
And now is our time as a church to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to encourage you to admit what has happened. I want to encourage you to listen to others and have apathy. Again, how do we let God in our pain? How do we do this? We first admit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I believe we come alongside someone who is in pain, as the Bible tells us to, and someone does that for us. It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you to reach out to God. This is basic. Reach out to God and reach out to a trusted person to be forgiven of any sin. If you don't know Jesus today, please receive Jesus today. If you have and you're far from God, come back to God today. But I want to encourage you to reach out to God. He forgives our sin. And as I've already said, reach out to a trusted person because there's healing in the confiding or even in the confessing of wrong with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this all the time because I did this in 2007 and my life was better for it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just giving you what God's done for me and I still practice this today.
Yeah, can I just add one thing? And can I just speak to my black and brown brothers and sisters? I want to encourage you to hold your convictions. I want to encourage you to put God first. Keep the main thing the main thing. We are only on this earth for just this little bit. Yep. It's nothing but a little vapor. Yep. Our eternity is in heaven.
Yes.
And I want us to fight, continue to fight, but still keep Christ the main thing.
Yes. Because he is the main thing. He is essential. Amen. He is the anchor. Come on, give him a great hand clap of praise, please. He is Jesus. You at home, give God praise. And so in closing, here's what I encourage you to do. We're in a tenuous point. We're in a pivotal point. And I would ask all of us individually, we would not block God from our pain. We wouldn't use excuses, wouldn't use politics, wouldn't use denominations, wouldn't use pet doctrines that don't have anything to do with heaven or hell. We would just say, God, I need more of you. Come in my pain. I don't want to be foolish. I want to be wise. I admit what's happened in my life. Come heal me, Jesus. Then I show empathy to someone else, especially someone else that's different than me. And then someone can do that for me too. But I come alongside and I practice what the Bible says. I listen. The Bible says, be slow to speak, quick to, what does it say? Listen. That's why we have two ears and one mouth, right? And come alongside and show empathy. Then I reach out to God for forgiveness of my sin, my maybe a struggle that's ongoing. And I reach out to a confidant. Go to an online group. We have a reconciliation group online this summer. We have groups of all kinds this summer. I want to encourage you to connect and have community even in this your reopening of everything. And even in the midst of this tension and all this political fighting and all this anger. Come on. No. I come alongside. Lord, I come to you. Heal me. I admit it. I come alongside and show empathy. And then I reach out to God. And then I reach out to a trusted person. And I let God have his way in my life. And then my pain is healed by the power of Jesus slowly, one day at a time. Remember, Jesus stood in the midst of his disciples and he told Thomas, put your hand in my wounds. Look at my hands. In other words, God didn't take away the holes in his hand. He just took the pain out of the hole. So now the hole showed it showed the sign of God's power and God's goodness. Many times, God won't remove the scar. In other words, the memories don't go away. Maybe in a physical scar, it doesn't leave our body, but he'll take the pain out of it. And then we can say, man, I once maybe was lost, but now I'm found. Maybe I was racist, but now I'm not. Man, I was once pushed down, but God brought me up. I was rejected. I was abandoned. I was abused. But man, God has done a miracle for me. And our cracks show the mercy of God. Our scars show the goodness of God. But we got to get the essential oil in it so God can do it. And then we can shine, amen, for it. And God gets the glory. So will you do it today? Come on, will you do it today? Will you take one step today? Will you take one step today? Come on, we are the people of the living God. We worship Jesus. He is above it all. He's greater than Republican. He's greater than Democrat. We lay it down. We may decrease so him may increase. We need him to increase right now in our country. We need him to increase in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages. I don't know about you, but when I think about my wife, I want to love her more. I want to do better to her. So I need Jesus to increase in me. How about you? And so may we decrease and may God increase. As you're standing, thank you so much. And you online, thank you for being a part of our online campus. Please respond in this moment. As we stand to our feet today, please bow your heart and bow your head. In this moment of our country, the greatest reconciliation we can have first is to be reconciled to God. Is to be saved. Once we're reconciled to God, you and I then have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So today, as your hearts are bowed, heads are bowed, if you've never received Jesus in this room or online, you've never received Jesus at all in your life, you've never called on him to be Savior, and or you have, but you are drifting from him for whatever reason. And you want to come back to God. Both of those are biblical, yet Jesus is the remedy for both. If that's you today and you say, yes, PD, please pray for me. Right now, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. God bless you. 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 People coming to God today. Thank you. Come on. That's awesome. Thank you so much. I see it. You online, let us know. And then how many say, you know, Pastor Dave, I need God in my pain. Maybe it's my marriage. Maybe it's because of my gender, my race. Maybe it's because of discrimination. Maybe it's because of something else. But I need God in my heart. I need God in my pain. I don't want to be a foolish believer. I want to be a wise believer. I want the oil of God to be put in my vessel, the very area of ache and pain. I want God to come in and heal me. How many of us say, yes, that's me. I need that today. Go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. All over this room, I want to pray for you and online. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over. Thank you. Follow me in this prayer. Everyone in this room and online, out loud, and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I give you all of me. I am yours. And I choose through the Holy Spirit to put your oil into my ache, into my pain, into my weakness, into my vulnerability. I give you my life. Heal it for your glory. Use it for your glory. I'm yours. In Jesus' name.